Welcome to Flavor Living Radio. This is Brian, your host from Hampton Roads, broadcasting to those who like food, cooking. In today's show, we have a guest. He's an American who lives in Norway. He's a geologist, and his name is Greg Teft. He invented a website with two co-owners, Marcel and John. They invented a site. Because, you know, I've been promoting the color purple for about a week now, and their site is called The Purple Dinner. Yes. You know, I wanted their concept to, asking them to be on our show on Flavor Living, I wanted their concept to really take off because their concept is about sharing. It's about sharing ideas, inviting guests, cooking new dishes. Coming over, talking with people, stepping out of their home and their places, the apartment, and anywhere they live, just communicating with everybody, their ideas about cooking and socializing. And we had him on our show, and we wanted you guys to hear what he had to say, all the way from Norway. Yes, near the Arctic Circle. It's very cold there. I mean, they only have, I think, if I was not mistaken, they have 2 months where it's like, it's just dark, you know, and he's there, and he was on a show, you know, it was a national show called the International House Hunters, and we're going to play a little bit about that show a little bit later. But, you know, first, I found this song. I was online, and there's a DJ named Spike. He's from PBR in Hampton, and he had this song. He did a cool remix on this song here, and listen to this song. It's called Love. And we hope you like it. We'll be back with our guests from thepurpledinner.com, Greg Teft and company. Welcome back to Flavor Living Radio. This is Bryant, your host. And that song was called Love by Jana Kramer, remixed by Spike here in Hampton Roads. What a remix. That was a great song, speaking the truth. Now, we have a guest today. His name is Greg Taft from Norway. He's an American that lives in Norway. He has an idea called The Purple Dinner. And, you know, he was on a TV show that's on HGTV, you know, the show that it's the network that has like a lot of real estate shows and different shows. And he was on the International House Hunters. He was on that show before he invented the purple dinner. And just here's a segment, audio segment from the show International House Hunters before we go into our interview.
So what's it going to be like up there, man?
I don't know. It's going to be cold. It's going to be dark.
Greg is a geographer.
The job opportunity came across my desk, and at first I said, there's no way I'm going to move to Arctic Norway.
But not only did he take a job north of the Arctic Circle.
He's come all the way from Miami to help me find a place.
He talked his friend Mark into helping him move.
Welcome to Norway.
Thank you.
It's beautiful.
As their bromance battles the boreal elements, however...
It's like a total white wilderness here.
Can this intrepid scientist find a great bachelor pad?
I'm a single guy, so I want an apartment that's pretty close to town.
In one of the most remote places on Earth?
That's quite a climb on this icy hill here. How long is the walk if I were to walk into town?
Well, it depends if it's slippy.
Find out when Greg and Mark slay into the one and only Tromsø, Norway.
Woo! Would have believed it had you not seen it with your own eyes. Seems so surprised.
Greg relaxes by playing music with his friends.
You're everything that's beautiful.
But his background in geography led to a research position in northern Norway.
I've always been fascinated with northern places, and I had two very divergent instincts about this offer. The first was just complete excitement. I'm going to live in Europe. It's a beautiful place in the middle of the mountains. And at the same time, am I crazy? I'm going to the Arctic. Where I don't know anyone.
We've got some things here for you for your trip. For you to wear over
there.
Me. In the frozen north.
In wintertime, there is no sunlight in the Arctic. For 2 months, there's no sun at all. And not only is there extreme darkness, but it's cold.
Called the Purple Dinner. And we are calling and talking with a gentleman who started the concept. We are calling all the way from the Arctic Circle. Is that correct?
That's right.
Arctic Circle in Norway, the country of Norway. How are you doing, Greg? And welcome, Dr. Taft, really, or Greg, Gregory Taft. Greg. How are you doing there in Norway and with a purple dinner? How's it going?
Very good. Thanks for calling. It's great to talk to you. It's I'm doing very well here. The end of the summer, and we're finally getting some nighttime back in the Arctic here in Norway.
I know I heard this only like 2 months where it's no sunlight, right?
It's like 2 months where there's no sun, and then in the summer there's actually almost 4 nights where there's no real night. I'm sorry, almost 4 months where there's no real nighttime.
Just day.
The night is just coming back now.
Wow. It's just that must have been a lot to adjust to it, to adjust to the weather and everything.
Well, that's right. I am American, and I moved here from, I live in North Carolina and Memphis, Tennessee. So it was an adjustment, but a very exciting one. It's beautiful here among all the fjords and the mountains, and it's quite a place.
Now, I saw that we will get to this later. We will come back to this later. You were on an international house hunter show, and we will come back to that, too. That in a while, but we're here on the show. We're talking about the purple dinner. Tell us about the purple dinner and how it all started. I know I saw that you were in the States in Miami, and you were driving downtown Miami, South Beach.
That's
were
right.
You in South Beach?
I was in South Beach. As a matter of fact, I was in South Beach for the day. I can tell you the basic story.
Okay.
With a good friend of mine. And we started driving, and actually, we ended up getting a little lost, which I tend to do a lot. But we were enjoying the drive, having been lost, and we were just driving around and ended up in the residential neighborhood. And just kind of looking around the city to see, you know, what we could see at that point, since we thought we'd make the most of it. Then it was getting to be dinner time. It was about 6 o'clock. The sun was going down. And we were getting hungry. And we said, let's get some food. And so what we had to do then is drive all the way back to downtown Miami. We went to South Beach to get food at a restaurant. But at this point, that was pretty far away.
Mm.
And actually, we saw all the lights coming on in all the houses, and everybody must be cooking dinner. And we were just driving around. And I said, you know, I'll bet. I mean, there's so many people around us right now cooking dinner.
Mm.
Every one of these houses. And I'll bet some of them would be happy to welcome us in their home for dinner.
Right.
But we can't access them. So that's when the idea came. I said, well, why don't I make a website where you can access them and people who are willing to offer dinner can put, you know, a profile on the site. And then guests who are either from the city or traveling from another city may want to have dinner with a local, like instead of a restaurant. And I thought it'd be a really fun experience in addition to kind of filling a void of needing a dinner sometimes when you may not be around restaurants.
So, you kind of, how did the first one start off? I mean, you guys started the idea. You started the idea with the concept there in Miami. So, I mean, where did it like come into action?
Well, as a matter of fact, I kind of sat on the idea for a long time, longer than I wanted to. It was an idea I really wanted to make happen. But I have another job, and I was a professor of geography, and I'm a researcher in geography. And, it's just another thing you got to do, and it took a long time. But it was something I've been excited about for about 5 years, when I finally was here in Norway, and I talked to my friend Marcel about the idea. And he got excited about it, and he also had a degree in entrepreneurship, a master's degree, so he was kind of along the lines of what he would like to do. And we got his friend John involved as well, who also went through the same master's program. And the three of us started just having fun talking about the idea. But we started making weekly meetings to plan it, and then things started to move forward, and we really just got serious. And we had to, you know, plan a website and how to build a website and what to build in the website. And really, once we had the website built and developed, then it was good to go, and we launched just about a month and a half ago.
Oh, so this is really, so 2014, a new idea for this year.
That's right. But we already have members in over 70 countries, and it's building fast, and people are really excited about it. I'm very excited about it. And the idea is, a lot of people, I'm going to preempt your question, a lot of people ask me, why purple?
Okay.
And the reason is we just want it to be a fun, well, I think purple is a fun, creative color.
Yes, it is.
We want people to have a lot of fun with it and make whatever they want of it. Whether they just want to have a small meal and invite a guest over, or if they want to, you know, some people are gourmet chefs and can cook up something very serious. But in addition, if a guest goes to a host house, then you can also do other things like play music in the home. We give that suggestion online if people, if both parties play music, or maybe some sports. Or they can go out and the host can show the guest the town, or, you know, go to the local nightlife. Mm-hmm. This is especially good if the guest is from out of town and just trying to tour the city.
Well, you had your, as far as being a geographer, you traveled, because as I was researching and heard that Norway is the most expensive country in the world. How did that work out? I mean, did that work out, you know, as far as being, the idea kind of went together there in Norway?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, that was another motivating factor for me, because I have never seen prices like you've seen in Norway. I mean, see, I have to warn my friends or over.
Yeah, well, give me an example, like a loaf of bread or a hamburger. Give me an example. Like, you know.
Yeah, well, a hamburger is a good one. In general, if you go to a hamburger, like on a hamburger stand or a small, tiny shop just to get a grilled burger, it'll cost you about $15.
Okay.
I think there's a Burger King down, I think that costs $10. Not that I eat Burger King a lot, but it's a good standard to see how expensive things are. Then you can go to a decent hamburger, it's about $30. This is all U.S. Now, a normal dinner out, where I'll get an appetizer, have a nice meal, a glass of wine, and maybe a dessert, that will usually run you at minimum $100 here, at least in the north of Norway.
And that's just for one person?
That's right, just for one person.
Wow.
So the reason why this is motivating to me, too, is because if I can find a way to set up a network here in my town, and we have actually quite a network now on Purple Dinner in the town, then I could ask to be a guest at a host's house. And a lot of these hosts will charge a lot less money than a meal in a restaurant, and a lot of them do it for free. As a matter of fact, over half of our hosts online right now don't even ask for any money. They often say, you know, bring a bottle of wine or a little gift or nothing at all. They're just doing it to enjoy the experience. And of course, the way that it works is that a guest will contact their host they find online and say, hey, you know, send them a message, say, I saw your profile and you look interesting, I like the food you make, I'd love to come for dinner. Then the host decides whether they want to have that guest in their home or not. Mm-hmm. And then if there's a price, then they, you know, they can pay it.
Now, how, I mean, you know, because there are companies like Airbnb, you know, where
that's
you...
Right.
There's different companies. They are in different industries. And this is a really new and fascinating industry. And how from both sides, as a host, does the host have to go through different to prove, or do they have to go through different applications, or how do you become a host like in America or overseas?
Well, as a matter of fact, for our site, any host is allowed to do it. Anybody in the world can become a host.
Okay.
A lot of our members choose to become hosts and guests. And if they become a host, they can, you know, what they do is they put, there's a whole set of profile questions they can fill out, and they write a bit about themselves and put pictures up. So as a guest, it's choosing which host to go to, you know, in whatever city they can search geographically. They can look for somebody. If somebody is a chef or has bed and breakfast already and has served dinner at their home, that's one kind of an experience they may have. But we have a lot of people who are also just, you know, just families that say, hey, you know, we're having dinner every night with you know, the parents and the kids, and they're just happy to host somebody else and have, you know, some guests for an evening.
I think it's awesome to bring people together, more together, you know, in this century, to have more people interact with each other, you know, because here where I live in Hampton Roads, I don't know, my neighbor could cook an awesome dish, or behind me could cook an awesome dish, or when I go, just to, you know, the fact to meet when you had mentioned on your website, to meet the locals, when you go on vacation or you're at a convention, you know.
Yes, exactly. It's one of my passions. I am a geographer, and one of the reasons I am is because I love to travel. Okay. And I've traveled a lot of places, and a lot of the time I've managed to meet people who've invited me to their homes for dinner or, you know, to stay overnight or something like that. And those are the best experiences. I mean, when you get in the home and you really see how people in another country are living and you get to experience it with them and kind of become part of that experience in that country for a little while. But the problem is a lot of people have 2 or 3 weeks of vacation a year and they don't have that opportunity.
Mm.
So that's one of my passions with Purple Dinner, is to bring an opportunity to people who may not otherwise get it. So you can just, if you're traveling anywhere, you say an American is traveling in France and they just want to see, you know, meet a local and maybe have a local dinner with someone from France and actually experience the French food in someone's home. And this is a great way to do it. You just look somebody up and let them know and say, hey, I'm coming down and can I have dinner at your house? And, you know, I compare this to some of the other services like Airbnb, as you mentioned, or Couchsurfing, which is where Couchsurfing is basically a free service where people can stay overnight at people's homes, and Airbnb, they pay for it. But a lot of times, I think people may not always want to spend a whole night at someone's house, because then it's kind of, you're putting yourself in a situation you don't know if you're going to be super comfortable on the couch or what the situation will be like. But there's that excitement when you go there that you can actually meet somebody and become part of a local scene, kind of.
Well, you know, after you eat, you always have, after you eat, you always have comments. And you want to, like, when you're, let's say you eat at a restaurant and you're eating at somebody's house, you're either driving home or back at your place, you're like, oh, man. And you're talking to friends, you're like, oh, my gosh, their potatoes were good. And you can't do that when you spend a night, you know?
Right, exactly.
You're like, oh, man, their mashed potatoes were very good. Their pie was good. Their apple pie was good. It was great, you know? It kind of gives you freedom that you have dinner, go home, and just... And now, do you have the option for people to review?
Yes. And I think that's a key option, that after you go as a guest and you go to a host's home, you can write a note on their profile, on their wall there, about how it went. And the host can also write a review of the guest. So I think that's very important just for... especially, let's say, a single woman is going somewhere. I would recommend that she only go to hosts that have been reviewed that look safe, you know?
Right. Now, I was going to ask a question about, let's say somebody is gluten-free, or will the guest have an opportunity to choose specifically what type of dinner they're wanting?
To some degree, yes, and then gluten-free is a good example. We do have, hosts can choose from a list of certain kinds of meals, and gluten-free, vegetarian, vegan, halal, kosher kinds of things, and they can click if they can offer that kind of food. You know, they click on a box, and in the search engine, you can you can specify only want somebody who is a host and who can serve vegetarian food. So, yeah, we certainly do offer that, and I think it's great because it's also. This is more than just a site for people to connect for dinner. We also have some chat groups we don't call them chat groups, but forums, we call them.
Okay.
Where people talk about different issues about food, and we hope it's a place where vegetarians and vegans can connect about, you know, discuss different topics.
Yes, I mean, but I think it's also good to have a surprise to dinner,
We hope you're enjoying the show here on Flavor Living Radio. We are with Greg there in Norway, and he's talking about the Purple Dinner. You know, and just the concept there as far as, you know, I mean, I'm not going to say it, but I know, you know, I have family that they live in Hampton Roads in the Virginia Beach area. And I know if my mom's neighbor knew what type of potato salad my mom makes, they would knock on her door every day. So, I mean, there's just people that know how to cook, you know, and there's chefs who know how to cook, and ordinary people know how to cook. And you know, even when I've lived in different places, there have been families who've cooked. You've always wanted to knock on their door. I mean, I didn't mean to knock on the door and say, hey, what are you guys cooking over there? It smells so good across the hallway. You know, so he's talking about a great idea where people can share dinners, socialize, get to know each other outside of the home, outside of the computer, outside of the internet. I know I like the internet, but I mean, just to talk and socialize and have a good meal. And also I like what he talked about as far as a young lady, if you're going to have dinner, be safe, you know, go with a couple friends there and make sure you're safe. You're going to different dinners and just everybody, you know, just have good thoughts and just think, double check everything before going to dinner because, you know, you want to make sure everything's well. But just the opportunity to meet other people from different countries and here in your own countries who can cook and learn different tastes, just the taste alone. But we're going to go back to our interview, and we're going to go back and talk to Greg Taft. And here's our part two of our interview with Purple Dinner.
I'm thinking for gluten-free and different categories, they have that option.
Yeah, exactly. Otherwise, somebody who's gluten-free or you know, who's had a gluten allergy wouldn't be able to use it. And so I think it's a nice feature we have that allows people to, you know, eat the food that keeps them safe.
Now, where is the guest are? What countries or areas where you have a lot of sign-ups at or where is it starting to grow, you know?
We're really getting them all over the world. It's really fantastic. We're just trying to put the word out there on social media and do a lot of our personal connections. I've traveled a lot, so I have connections in a lot of countries and let them know and spread through their social media. But so we're getting a lot of people. There certainly are a lot in the U.S., in certain parts of the U.S., not all over.
Mm-hmm.
But we're getting a lot in Eastern Europe and Poland and Russia as well.
Okay.
But I'm here, right here in Norway, of course, because we have a very big network here in Norway. But all over, I mean, we have people in France, Germany, Spain, Portugal.
I can imagine, because it's really, you know, the concept just of having your vacationing in a different country and trying different foods, you know, that's just really cool to have, you know, that option.
I'm excited to go back, because the thing is, my last vacation was before the launch of Purple Dinner, so I can't wait for my next vacation, because I'm going to go try some Purple Dinner myself.
Okay, and get some purple, you know.
And I didn't mean to specify that we're only in Europe, because we have people in China, all over the Middle East, South America, Mexico, but we have a lot of people in Mexico signed up, so you know, there's opportunities all over.
Wow, you know, I saw you were on a national TV show called The International Home Hunters,
and
we're going to have the episode on our website. We have a website called flavorliving.com, and we were going to post Greg, can we go ahead and post that episode so people can see the episode?
Yeah, sure.
We had to post the episode. So, you know, I'm not going to tell everybody the place that you chose, but I know from looking at the episode, are you enjoying the location there that you chose there?
I am still the location that I chose that you see on the show there, and it's fun. It's nice. I don't want to say too much to give it away, because it can be a fun little game to watch and get to which place. But I'm living here, and I've had some friends stay over, and had a few parties here, and it's been a blast, really. It's been a lot of fun. It's a unique town, and you can see what I like about the show. They show you all around the town, and it was filmed in wintertime here in Arctic Norway, so it's quite a sight.
I mean, I don't want to give, you know, way too much about the show, but I saw that you're a musician and everything, so that's really cool.
Yeah, thank you. I really enjoyed making that movie.
Wow. So tell us, Greg. I know you're a culinary. Which purple dinners have you cooked there in Norway for the? Now, would it be Norwegian people, for the Norwegian people?
Yeah, Norwegian.
Yeah, so what dinners have you cooked there for the Norwegian people? American, do you have to cook some American dinners?
I do. As a matter of fact, I'm planning to have a big purple dinner.
Okay.
And a purple dinner works in two ways. One way is that the guest can ask a host, say, I'm coming, can I have dinner at your place? Another way is you can create what's called an event, a local event. And that's that the host can say, look, I'm having an event, and you put the news out to all your friends that are on the site, or you can invite others. And you say, I'm having an event on the 23rd, and you're welcome to come for dinner.
Okay.
And at this point, I've done that a few times, because like I said, we just launched. And I'm going to have a big one this weekend, as a matter of fact. And I try to, when I do my purple dinners, I try to have some purple in the room and wear purple just to be fun.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So really, in about a couple of years, everybody's going to have, you're going to have some T-shirts, some purple.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, we're going to have a launch party next month, a purple dinner launch party here in town.
Okay.
And we're going to, and it's going to be a purple party, and everyone is asked to dress in purple, and the purplest woman and the purplest man will each get a purple present.
I like it. That's cool. That's creative.
Yeah.
All right.
But to answer your question, I honestly love food. I used to live in New York for 3 years, and then I lived in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, and then Memphis, Tennessee. All amazing restaurant towns.
Yes.
And I just love to eat good food, but I am not the most skilled at cooking food.
Okay.
But since I moved here to Norway and the prices are so expensive, I've learned to cook a lot more than I did before.
Ah.
And I do have favorite dishes that I love to cook when guests come over.
Okay.
The cod, they call it torsk here.
Let me write this down. Cod. Okay. Torsk.
Yeah. And I just cook that up simply with a little water and olive oil and salt and pepper. This American friend of mine, Jace, taught me how to do that when he learned from some Norwegians.
Okay.
And just put it in the oven, and sometimes I put some vegetables in there as well. Cover it with tin foil, and that's simple as that.
You mean the cod the fish, right?
Yes. Okay,
so you kind of fillet the fish, and then you have vinegar, oil.
Just some olive oil and water.
Okay. Whoa.
And just a little salt and pepper on top, and that's it.
Wow. Very down to earth. Very down to earth. Okay.
Yep. I usually just get the fresh cod. They have a lot of salted fish and dried fish, and you really have to know how to cook that if you're, it's good if you grew up here in Norway. If it's enough, you may not come out so well. But
now, how has your partners helped out as far as it's Marcel and John? How have they helped out to help the idea go?
So Marcel and John, they've been excellent. They've been awesome. We just came together so well as a team. They got as excited about it as I am, and we just meet about once a week to do whatever we need to at that stage. We spend over a year of just planning what we wanted to do, how to build a website, what our goals were with it all, and then now we're just trying to, we've got the website working. We want to make it upgraded in the future, but it's working beautifully now, and we're trying to get the word out there and get a lot of people to know about it, because the more people that know about it, the more people who can enjoy a purple dinner.
You know what you need? You need a good jingle.
A jingle?
Yes. I heard you, through the grapevine of my research, you sing there. You have to have a good jingle. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know what? I'm glad you did. I never thought about it.
You need a good jingle. You know what I mean? Like with the purple there.
Well, dinner, something.
Yeah, that's what you need. You need a good jingle. With some backup singers and everything,
Absolutely. Maybe somebody who's listening, though, likes to put jingles together.
Yes.
They can send it to
us. Yes, yes, yes. Okay. Wow. Now, how can everybody reach the... How can guests sign up for the purple dinner,
yes.
And how can hosts sign up for Purple Dino in America and overseas? How could they do that?
Yeah, thanks for asking. It's very easy. You just go to purpledinner.com.
Okay.
And at that website, you just click sign up, and then it asks you profile questions when you do, you'll have to verify yourself through an email address. But then you just go to your email and click on the link, and that's it. Then you sign up. It asks you all these profile questions to fill out, but you don't have to fill them all out to be a member.
Okay.
It's free. No, we don't charge at all. So you can just enjoy it. In the long run, we may have we plan to have an option where the host can, if they're asking for money, then a guest is allowed to pay them however they want. But one option is to do it online through our site, and then we'll just take a small transaction fee to help support the site. But other than that, there's no cost involved, so members can be sure that they don't have to worry about that.
Okay.
And then when you sign up, you can sign up as a guest or a host or both. And we have people doing everything. Some just want to be hosts. They like to host dinner. Maybe they can't travel so much. Some just want to travel and be a guest. And some like to be both.
I'm just really, because I'd like to kind of have your concept of the Purple Dinner here in Hampton Roads. You know, just in America, more Hampton Roads, because I know there's, just in where I live, I know there's some cooks and who can cook here. Just in my area where I live at,
Absolutely. You know, when I lived in New York City, I would come up the stairs to my small apartment when I lived there right after college.
Yeah.
And one of the neighbors was cooking up a storm every
year. Yeah.
That was so good. Yeah. And, you know, at that time, I barely had a kitchen I could use. It was such a small place.
Right.
I wasn't cook either. And I always, like, prayed that these people would, like, meet me in the hall sometime and just, like, invite me in for dinner.
Yeah. There are plenty of moments on that. Yeah. So that's what I mean. It's like it would good. I mean, you know, I think that the restaurants would go, hey, but I think the people, it would also enhance people for, I think a lot of people who like to go to restaurants would also want to try different dinners too in the area, you know?
Absolutely. You know, I don't think that this is ever going to compete at a serious level with restaurants. Because I love to go out to dinner at restaurants. Here in Norway, it's too expensive. I don't do it so much. But when I'm in the U.S. or other places, I love to do it. And I think my concept is that as a traveler, and again, locals can use this as well, but if you're traveling somewhere, it'd be fun, like one night on a trip, to try a Purple Dinner. But of course, you're going to want to go out to restaurants like we always do on vacation. I just don't think that's going to people are going to stop doing that. And like you said, when you're in someone's house eating, it just kind of gets you inspired about food, about local food.
I think chefs even at restaurants will do this at their home, too. They're like, hey, you know, I want more people to try my food. You know, I want more people, you know. So I think even chefs who are...
As a matter of fact, we have several chefs who have already signed up on Purple Dinner. So some of the hosts are chefs, and they're doing it for fun, you know, on the side.
You know, I always ask this question. I always ask, could you tell us a good story about either Purple Dinner or just your travels there in Norway, like a good, cool story? You know, I always ask our guests to come on.
A good story. Put me on the spot.
I know. I always do. You know, the guests they get mad at me when I do, but I try to, you know,
try to think which story to tell here. Let me think. I got a good story for you. It's about meals and traditions in general.
Okay.
I was invited to a Norwegian home for dinner. We were going to play some kind of board game. I forgot what it was, but they're having a board game evening, and they invited me, and I thought it was great. It was the first time I was being invited to a Norwegian household.
Okay.
Because in the past, I've been I had more friends that were international. So I was very excited. They said, okay, listen, we should start early because the game can be long and then we don't want to be here too late. So we'll start at 4 o'clock and I'm bringing, I'll cook some fish soup. I said, great. You know, sounds good. So I'm climbing up the hill. We live on a hill, yeah. I'm climbing up the hill on my, with my bike in the middle of the snow. I've got this snow bike now with spikes on the tires, but it went uphill a little too hard that day. It was very steep. I'm on the way, and it was like 4:05, and I get a call and or a text message that said, where are you, Greg? You know, we're waiting for you.
What?
So I texted them back, and I was like, I'm almost there. You know, I was trying to be passively late. I didn't want to arrive too early. You know?
Yeah.
But I accidentally texted the wrong person back. I just didn't know my phone very well. So 5 minutes later, I get a call, and he said, what's going on? What, you know, where are you? I was like, whoa, it's, you know, 10 after 4, and they're stressed out here. I didn't understand at this point. I was like, well, listen, I'm just 2 minutes away.
Okay.
No worries. So I got there. But what I didn't understand was that in Norway, 4 o'clock is dinner time, especially on Sunday. And so the fish soup was to be served at 4, and everybody was like, it was like a sit-down dinner.
Oh!
They were like waiting for me to eat the dinner.
Okay.
And now I understood why, you know, I should have been there a little bit earlier.
Oh, okay.
But it never occurred to me that dinner would be served at 4 o'clock. So as a matter of fact, I started a forum on a forum topic on Purple Dinner, asking about different countries and, you know, when you eat dinner and what the different traditions are. And it's amazing how different some countries are. Like in Poland, for instance, they don't even have a lunch tradition. They don't eat lunch. They skip the lunch.
Now, when you walked in the door, were they kind of like, angry? Or how did they react?
When I walked in the door, there was no problem at all, actually. It was nice. But I was nervous because I was like cuffing and puffing up the hill and I was like, sweating, you know, trying to get the
back. You're probably like, what's wrong with you people? You know, what's wrong? Why are you guys mad at me?
But I knew that in Norway people are very timely and they come wrong on time.
Okay.
I didn't expect quite that level. And again, I think it was only because they were really serving dinner at 4 o'clock and it was all ready. And I felt bad. It was very funny. But they're the nicest people in the world. I mean, in Norway, people are the kindest and the most honest people I've ever met. I lost my wallet here. I lost a bag that had my backpack that had some money in it.
Right.
My friend lost an expensive camera. And every time, somebody had it waiting for us.
Wow. That's really neat. That they're, you know, here on the globe and the planet, there's some cool people, too, you know. In America, there's some cool people, too. But, I mean, it's neat to see there's some down-to-earth and cool people, you know, good down-to-earth.
Absolutely.
Well,
good people.
Well, you know, thank you for being on our show about the Purple Dinner. And I'm going to, you know, I am signed up as a member myself. So I'm a new member.
That's great.
I signed up about a couple weeks ago, so I'm a new member. So I'm hoping everybody listening to the show will sign up. I know they will. They have to, because they're going to hear a new jingle pretty soon.
All right. I'll get a jingle together, and I'll send it out to all the members.
You know.
Thank you very much, Brian. It's great to be on your show. I'm very excited about it, and just learned about your show now. I'm going to be checking out all the shows that you've done in the past that I see they're on iTunes here.
Yes. Well, that's cool. Yes, I'm going to follow the Purple Dinner and with our concepts, too. So I'm really looking forward to us working with the Purple Dinner, you know, the Flavor Living concept.
Yeah, I'd love to connect with it. Absolutely. Looking forward to that.
All right. So you sure you don't want to sing a jingle? You don't want to try a jingle now or try one now? Because you sing, you know. I heard you sing, so you can go ahead if you want to.
If I had one prepared, but time to eat, you have your purple dinner. I'm sorry, I'm just going to embarrass myself completely by doing this. I'll make a good one up with the piano and everything.
Okay, that's cool. All right. Well, thanks for being on our show.
Hey, thank you very much.
All right.
It's a pleasure.
We are back on the Flavor Living Radio, and we hope you've enjoyed our interview. I know this was an interview. I had to say that a couple times. I know it was an interview, but I just wanted to get across the whole concept of the purple dinner. You know, I mean, this is, you remember when we were younger, I mean, we would go, you know, you go to your parents, your mom, your dad, you say, you know, I'm having dinner at Tommy's house or your girlfriend's house. You would go over to their house and have dinner, and you would like, oh, this is food that our family does. I mean, this is really good. You know, they made different dishes. This is for, like, real, like, adults and adult version here, where you can taste different foods and you can cook. Or if you're a chef, you can, you know, or if you're a person that just really knows how to really get down, I mean, really a good cook without being a chef, you know. Or you can try somebody else's types of different types of foods and recipes. And, you know, this is the season right here. This is what I call, I know this is a sports season, but this is also the food season, you know. You know, as they say, everything has a season. This is food season now. Yes, you know, cooking is starting to really, as Emeril would say, it would bump it up a notch. It's starting to go up a couple notches now for the cooking for everybody. And I just thought having the purple dinner on our show would be a great idea, you know. And if you go to our website, it's purpledinner.com, and join up, become a guest or a host, and, you know, show us what you have as different type of dinners. Invite friends and families and go over different locations to try their dinner and leave a review and a comment. So, but that's our show for this evening here on Flavor Living Radio. We hope you enjoyed it, and be back again for some more food trends. And visit our website, flavorliving.com. And remember, drive safe and eat well. And have a great month. And we'll see you again next week with our next show. And also tune in for Scarf and Cough there in Kent, UK. But here in America, it's Flavor Living Radio. And tune in and enjoy cooking and hear our trends and our news. Take care, everybody.
Cooking, restaurants, and recipes with adventure.